Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And if you'd like to follow in the church Bible, it's on page 1182. Colossians 1, reading from verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 20, and can be found on page 1027 of the Church Bible. And there were shepherds out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I give you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I have entitled today's sermon, "Christ is not just for Christmas," which I know is cheesy, but it is an important message nevertheless. We have just heard two quite different readings. The Gospel tells us another episode in the Nativity story with shepherds and angels of visits to a baby laid in a manger, and it would be very easy just to focus this Christmas morning on the baby laid in a manger, on the human Jesus, the man, the baby, the man who came to disciple us, to show us the way. The epistle, though, speaks of something a bit spiritual, something so otherworldly I wouldn't be surprised if there were some scratching of heads. How can these two diverse readings be speaking of the same being? That is the mystery of God with which we wrestle. The Gospel tells us of God coming into his creation as a baby, a small, weak human being. And the Epistle throws us back to the mystery that is God, that is Trinity, something and someone far bigger than a baby. And it throws light into the mystery of the eternal Christ, to that part of the Trinity that has been here forever, the mystery of creation. That mystery, that adventure into the heart of God, is one reason why I believe we need Advent. Advent isn't just a time to get ready for Christmas with its frenzied baking and present buying. It's a time to prepare yourself for the Christ, for his emergence, his advent. You see, Advent sits right at the beginning of one of the most important cycles of church life, what is known as the incarnation cycle. The time when we consider, or in the words of the Gospel today, ponder God with us, indeed God in us, in humanity. You only have to look at the word incarnate, which means embodying in flesh of God. Advent was a time for us to prepare to welcome him as an historical celebration of his birth, filled with joy and presents and cakes and all those wonderful things we've got to look forward to later on today, but also as an expectancy of his return. So in the Gospel, we heard about Mary and Joseph and Jesus in Bethlehem, about to have a set of smelly visitors with a very tall tale. Pondering is what we hear Mary did that night that the shepherds visited them in the place where the animals lived and fed. She pondered the things the shepherds told them about her baby boy, and she treasured them in her heart. It was probably hard to take in. After all, the previous 9 months wouldn't have been a piece of cake for her. And then she'd had that ghastly journey on a donkey whilst in the early stages of labour. And I want to say right here, right now, it's hard enough to drive a car when one is in the early stages of labour, let alone ride a donkey. I should know. 17 years ago, I was driving cars. So, I wonder what she pondered. I wonder, does she think about the action of God within her life? What had she done to deserve it? Or perhaps, what hadn't she done? Why this baby? Why now? There were probably hundreds of questions going through her head. And answers, and now some smelly shepherds had turned up, telling of angels and singing and the like. I wonder if she wondered where all this was going to lead. Could she already sense the way he was going to be different? Perhaps have a foreboding about how the world would accept him? Did she ponder how any future siblings might treat him, or the rest of the family, or indeed the world? Perhaps she pondered these three things. The angels tell the shepherds that they bring good news of great joy for all people. That wasn't just some people. That wasn't just one tribe. It was a message of good news for all. Now that wouldn't have been expected. The chosen people. In fact, any chosen people expect first dibs, preferential treatment. They have a sense of entitlement. We should all be aware of developing a sense of entitlement. So for me, this all is the first dawn of grace breaking on this earth. It had always been here. But the human race is very good at the divide and conquer mentality, the them and us. We could see it in our own country at this moment in time. We could see it across the world. However, for the first time, the truth was announced. Good news for all people, and announced by angels nonetheless. There are times when we just need telling because it's too amazing to see. Or perhaps she pondered that this God was coming to us as a baby. Now, in some respects, babies are quite tough, but they can't do very much for themselves, and that makes them vulnerable. They also have a limited immune system, which is why they get very ill very quickly, and that means they suffer. So here we have a God who is vulnerable and who suffers. This is God who entered fully into his creation, even into his creation of a man. This is God who knows what it's like to be born, live, love, suffer, and finally die, just like we all will. This is something worth pondering, particularly, I think, in the long, dark nights when worry or sickness grabs us, or especially when we walk with someone as they grieve or move towards death themselves. This is a God of compassion because he knows what it's like to be human. Jesus wept over Lazarus, over Jerusalem. This is the mystery that is the Christ. Do we think that he had it easy being God? Do we get hung up on the human part and forget the divine? Jesus the man had to listen and study. He debated with rabbis. His family thought him mad. His friends just didn't get him. Few really appreciated the real man and, if truth be told, the real God. Don't we just prefer small, manageable gods, ones which we seem to have tate under control and who ask little of us? Or perhaps she pondered that this baby was lying where the animals ate. Not your usual expected place for an important baby. This baby is so far from the cosseted centre that he's almost off the edge. This baby, this God, is found everywhere, but especially at the margins of life. He's found at the homeless shelter, with the rough sleeper, the drug addict, the refugee, the victim of abuse, the people who struggle with illness. He identifies with those who have little, with those who feel they are worthless and helpless. He walks with them in their pain and bewilderment. He carries them when they fall. He is not embarrassed to be associated with anyone. That is the grace and love that we contend with. That is the God we can sometimes domesticate to the point of making him far too small. So that leads me to my next question. Have we pondered like Mary? After all, babies don't stay babies for very long. They toddle off, they turn into teenagers, and they get their own life, and they go off and live it. Our faith should be like a baby. It should grow. It should deepen, and it definitely should mature. If we never allow pondering, we might just be missing out on the greatest adventure that this life has in store for us, living in Christ and him living in us. Or more importantly, living in awareness of that fact. But if we look at the Colossians reading, that gives us far more to ponder. Verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, things visible and invisible, all things were created by him and for him." Which to me sounds very much like a bit of John's Gospel. Verse 3, John 1 says, "Through him all things were made, Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Or verse 17 in Colossians. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Echoes of John verse 2, I feel. He was with God in the beginning. So perhaps something about John chapter 1 can help us unravel this mystery a bit more. We all know John 1. We've probably heard it many times. It's a favourite of the season. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you read it in the Greek, the word that is translated Word is Logos. However, like many words, there's more than one translation for that word. And I read recently that it can be translated as plan, or perhaps even better, blueprint. The Christ, the second part of the Trinity, was God's blueprint for creation. Doesn't that make us want to stop and ponder? We read on in John and learn that through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Here, right at the beginning, was the Christ, the blueprint of God's creation, the invisible, eternal structure of everything and everyone. And this theme is repeated through the Bible. You just have to look. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Christ sustains the universe. He was there at the beginning, and then 13 billion years later, man turns up, part of God's creation, and there he was, as a baby, born, laid in a manger, and soon to be a political refugee in Egypt. So if we continue picking up the themes from Colossians 1, it tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God. We've heard that by him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, things invisible and visible. All things were created by him and for him, and in him all things hold together. Doesn't that deserve just a little bit of pondering? Perhaps a bit of mulling over as you chew your turkey later. Christ, the blueprint, if you will, of all creation, the divine plan that underpins everything, runs through everyone and sustains every living thing. This is the Christ we should seek and we should ponder. The second person of the Trinity becoming incarnate as a vulnerable, weak baby on the outermost edges of society. And as we ponder that fact, we should think about what it tells us about God. Perhaps this is what we should ponder and treasure in our hearts each day of 2019. Because as we ponder the face of God, we might just learn more about ourselves, made with a divine purpose to a divine blueprint. And in learning more about ourselves, gain more understanding of our fellow human beings, even those we don't agree with. More empathy for their lives, their troubles, their conditions, because they too are made with the same blueprint inside them. So my challenge for us this Christmas day is, are we going to ponder the meaning of the Christ? Or are we happy to stick with a God who came as a baby and lay in a stable? Or shall we seek the deeper meaning and understanding of God that lies in clear sight in the incarnation narratives? Is this going to be our New Year's resolution. May God bless you and turn his face towards you this day. Merry Christmas.